Hello, and welcome to Hope Church. We're a local church with chill style, real faith, and no perfect people allowed. Thanks for checking out our podcast. This is a message from our Soquel location in the Santa Cruz, California area. We hope this message is encouraging. If you live near either of our locations, we'd love to have you join us for one of our many Sunday services.
Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. I just want to give a quick shout out to my mom, who I know is watching from Washington State. Mom, I know this has not been an easy time for you. I just want to encourage you and tell you how much I love you, and I'm thankful for you, your unconditional love, constant generosity, and heart to serve has imprinted a picture of God in my life, of who Jesus is, and I'm forever grateful. And Carolyn, my mother-in-law, who was my sixth grade teacher, probably prayed that Jenny would marry anyone except me, but we've become very close after almost 20 years of marriage and knowing you since I was in sixth grade. It feels more like blood, and I just wanted to thank you for your constant care for our family and my kids and my wife and for me, and your constant generosity. And Jenny, you are a rock star. I'm so grateful for you. You are my best friend and the greatest mom in the world to me, to our kids, and just the way that you love is so big, the way that you serve and do so many things behind the scenes that are unseen. And in fact, just being a pastor's wife makes you kind of a single mom every Sunday, but especially now during the quarantine as I'm here filming in your home with the kids. But I just want you to know, I love you and I'm so grateful for you and all that you do. And all the moms out there, especially going through COVID, this is not an easy time to be a mom. It's not an easy time to be anyone, but moms, it's especially hard whether you are a working mother and your kids are home and you're homeschooling, or you're a stay-at-home mom and you're quarantined with your kids 24/7. This is a challenging time. And so we just want you to know that we love you and we support you. We're so grateful for all the moms out there. And we hope that this is a very happy Mother's Day. Hey, I want to take a minute before I start my message, which I'm excited to share with you today, but I just wanted to pause because in our community, we've had a loss. And Ben Kelly, who is a surfer, shaper, young guy, just such a cool dude. I didn't know him that well, but he was a close friend of a few of my friends. And I've surfed with him in the past. And just heartbreaking to hear about the shark attack incident. And we just want to take a minute to pray for Katie, his wife, and his family and friends right now. So Lord, we just thank you for the hope that we have that no matter what happens, we are going to see Ben again, Lord, in heaven with you. And I just pray for his family right now. And I want to just pray for comfort, your loving comfort to surround Katie and the family and all of his friends, Lord, all those affected in the surf community here. I'm at loss for words, Lord, about what to say, but we thank you, Lord, for the life that he lived. And I just want to pray that you would surround his family right now with peace and comfort. Let's all be praying for them right now as they're going through this tragic time. Sobering reality. Just wanted to, before I started the service, I want to take a minute to acknowledge Ben Kelly and all those that maybe you knew him. And so we just want you to know that we're here if you want to talk, to just surround you guys. So what a rough way to start the Sunday service here, but that's what's happening in our community. I know people were posting in the comments about that, so we just want to take a minute to acknowledge that. We're continuing a series right now, and it's been so great. Letters from Lockdown. And we're looking at these letters written by the Apostle Paul. This guy was amazing. He was a church planter in the first century. He was persecuting Christians until he met the resurrected Christ on the road to Damascus, and his life forever changed. He led many people to Christ, many people outside of the Jewish communities, and he started all of these churches that are inspiring us today, this church in Philippi, where it was a community of retired Roman soldiers, very patriotic. And so when you started declaring Jesus as king, people were really upset. And he got thrown into jail his first visit there. And now he's been thrown into Roman prison. and he's writing a letter to this church who has been sending him gifts and supporting him throughout his journeys. And what a great and amazing thing for them to be able to be part of giving generously to support this ministry of Paul. And now, because he's trapped in a jail cell, he's in a prolonged crisis. Like, we can all relate to being trapped in a lockdown and in somewhat of a prolonged crisis, and that's where Paul's finding himself. But because he's in this situation, right, we know that God wastes nothing, right? So God is using even this to fulfill his purpose. And so these letters that he's writing are changing lives continuously for thousands of years, millions of people, and us here today. We're going to receive from these letters as we read today, Philippians chapter 4. If you guys want to turn there in your Bibles or your YouVersion app, whatever you have accessible to you, we're going to read that together in just a moment. But I'm going to just talk about my dog. I have a dog named Chancho. He's a miniature schnauzer. He is the coolest dog. Honestly, you couldn't have a better dog in the world. He barely ever barks. He loves to go for walks. He's just, you know, you want to sit with him on the couch. He'll always be your friend no matter what's going on in your day. He's always there for you. Such a cool little guy. We got him back in 09, so he's turning out to be a little bit of an old man now. He's always kind of looked like, he's got the little gray beard. Looks like a little old man. And we recently moved to a different house, and it has a big backyard, and he loves the backyard. He's exploring the space, if you will. He can run around, and his favorite thing is just to lay in the grass and soak up the sun or the shade, whatever time of day it is. But he's got a problem, because we just put a fence around our front yard, and there's a tree there, and there's a family of squirrels that live in this tree. And my dog has become a nervous wreck, right? He went from resting to a nervous wreck, because every time he chills on the grass, these squirrels get up in the tree and they taunt him. They get up there and they snicker at him. They get a little peanut or whatever they're eating, and they just make these noises, and he just goes berserk. He starts freaking out. He's running around. I mean, the other day I heard this commotion and I ran out there. I wonder what it was. Chancho is just like, he's just like shaking. He's just so upset about these squirrels living in his yard. And the squirrel, he can't do anything about it. They're just like, they're looking at him. It looked like they were laughing at him. They're just mocking him from the tree, from the safety of the tree. They know he can't get to him. And for most of us, this pandemic has been a prolonged crisis, right? It's a prolonged, stressful event that we're going through. And there's many moments, I don't know about you, but I feel like there's many moments where it feels like there's squirrels in my head. Right? I'm starting to kind of get used to the rhythm of what's going on. And all of a sudden, you know, I see this news article or I see a Facebook post. And it just last week, I've been doing pretty good. I'm getting in a rhythm, enjoying my family, enjoying connecting with people in the church online in as many ways as we possibly can, and just finding that rhythm. And then one night, a few nights ago, I'm laying in bed and I fell for it. Somebody posted this link of a pastor and just saying some crazy stuff, right? That happens sometimes. Pastors say crazy stuff other than me. But this guy was saying some crazy stuff, and it triggered an adrenaline response in me. And it's like 10 o'clock at night. I'm trying to go to bed, and I watch this video, and it just triggered this adrenaline. And it was like the squirrels were just running around my head. I could not slow down. I could not sleep. Hardly at all that night. I was a wreck the next day, and I was texting some friends going, hey, pray for me. I didn't hardly sleep last night. And I think that's something that we all can probably relate to. And even as we're talking about Mother's Day, right? Moms, I think sometimes the people that care the most are the people that struggle with the most anxiety, right? Because we care. And if you're in the midst of this pandemic, you might be someone who might have thought, like myself, maybe you don't think you deal with any anxiety or fear, but we're in the midst of this. And maybe, like me, you can relate to just some of that, the squirrels of anxiety kind of like coming to the surface and just getting at you. And the cool thing is that God's word speaks directly to us in this. Apostle Paul was in a prolonged crisis, and I don't know what he was going through, but I think he understood anxiety. I think he understood. He talks about multiple times about his concerns for the churches and his worries. And, you know, I can relate to that. Sometimes the worst things that are fears or anxieties are things that you can't control, right? It's one thing when it's like something that you can control, right? But when it's something that's outside of your grasp, it's like those squirrels laughing at you in the tree, right? Some of you guys are in moments right now in life that you have no control over. Maybe it's a work-related thing, or a financial thing, or a relational thing that's related to the stress of finances and work, or kids being home, and just all of this stuff happening. Being in a prolonged crisis, these anxieties rise up to the surface. And I want to encourage you. I don't think the Bible is about formulas, but I think that God does give us timeless truths that if we allow them into our lives, they can transform us, right? It says in Romans 12 that we're transformed by the renewing of our mind, right? And so we want to be transformed by allowing God's word to speak to this area of our life. And so if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and open up to Philippians chapter 4 with me. I'm going to read it from my YouVersion Bible app right here on my phone. And I already gave you a little background, but we're going to go ahead and start in verse 1. I'm going to read through this and maybe pause a couple times to explain what's going on here. Verse 1, therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. I love just, you can hear Paul's love for the people there, right? There's this my joy and my crown. And that's how I feel about you. When I think about the people of hope, that's what keeps me going when I'm looking at this camera. You know, it's like the weirdest thing being an extrovert. I just want to see people, but I'm thinking about real people. I'm thinking about you at home, on your living room, or wherever you're at watching this. And that's what Paul's doing. He's in this prison cell, and the people are keeping him motivated. They're giving him purpose, and he's thinking about them as his joy and crown. Verse 2, I plead with Euodia, and I plead with, I never say this name right. Someone's going to maybe correct me online, but how do you say that, Chris?
I have no idea.
Where's Chris Malley on this one? Syntyche, Euodia and Syntyche, right? There's two people here. It says, yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my coworkers whose names are in the book of life. So there's these two people that they were people that have been contending at Paul's side. They've been part of the church. They've been supporting him, but they're not in agreement. And so he's saying, I'm just asking that you guys would be of the same mind of the Lord. Would you be unified, right? Would you have peace? Sometimes peace can get robbed from us, not just by squirrels, but sometimes through relationships, that there can be a lack of peace in a relationship. And so Paul's speaking to that. I'm encouraging you guys, make peace. Be of the same mind. And then this is the part right here where I just feel like this is such a powerful scripture for where we're at. And in fact, for me, this is one of my favorite passages that I get to teach on, because for me, this is so alive in my life. This is something that I have to meditate on almost daily. I just look to this passage because it just gives me so much help and hope when I'm struggling with anxiety or stress. Look at what he says in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. So there's been this theme all the way through Philippians where Paul's in jail and he's writing about joy, rejoice. And now he brings it all to a head here where he says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Does he say rejoice in your circumstances? Does he rejoice in your struggles? Does he say rejoice in your whatever financial problems? He doesn't say that. He says, rejoice in the Lord. So it shifts our focus. And he says, say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Remember, God's with you. You can rejoice in him all day long. Verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We're going to talk about this a little bit more because we're going to unpack this. There's so much good stuff here when it speaks to anxiety, and how do we transfer that anxiety in a way through prayer. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. But then he continues on in verse 8. So instead of focusing there, let's focus here. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have heard Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Verse 10, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. Think about that. That's so cool. Whatever the circumstances, and we know his circumstances are much more humble than what we're living in here. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good for you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts, what I desire that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gift you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God, hear this, my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Verse 21, greet all God's people in Christ Jesus. The brothers and sisters who are with me send greetings. All God's people here send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. Think about it, that's the king, Caesar, right? He's reaching people in Caesar's household because he's in prison. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Now, what an encouraging passage. Not only is there this bigger picture of the people that Paul led to Christ who are now sending him gifts to support him. It's a little bit of like a thank you letter or a donation receipt. Thank you. I got the gift. Thank you. That's kind of what's happening here. But within that, you see this amazing passage that teaches us and speak to us when we're in a prolonged crisis, when we're in anxiety and stress and fear. And Paul just gives us some key things that we can redirect ourselves, right? I think that's the key, is not to focus on the things that are taking us away from God, but to focus on the things that can help us and find peace and to walk in that peace. That he talks about this peace that transcends all understanding. What an amazing thing. Who here wants that peace? I want to experience that peace in my life. I think we all do, right? And so Paul gives us a really key way that we can receive that and walk in that, even in the midst of the most difficult crisis. I want to give you 4 points. I'm just going to focus mostly on number one, which is this. Rejoice in him. I think in the midst of a crisis, it's so easy to get distracted by all the different squirrels, all the different things that want to pull us away from our focus of rejoicing in him. And God wants us to experience him in the midst of what we're going through. He says in his word, cast your anxieties on him, for he cares for you, right? We have a God that created us, that formed us, that loves us, that wants to rejoice in us and spend time with us and hang out with us and take the fears and anxieties off of us and onto him. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. The presence of God is our coping mechanism. What's your coping mechanism? What are the things that you revert to when you're under stress? Oftentimes, these can be negative things that create more problems in our life. And I want to encourage you to make the presence of God your coping mechanism. Go to God, spend time with him, and take our cues from the countenance of Christ. When we lean into his presence and remember that he's with us, that the Lord is near, there's joy in the midst of whatever we're going through. And that's why we can, I love how it says, let your gentleness be evident to all. That's how we can actually model this gentleness. Another translation calls it reasonableness. or moderation or patience, right? We can have patience and be reasonable and be gentle in the midst of crisis because we're tied in and connected to the presence of God. And then there's this picture of us, instead of being anxious, taking our anxiety and just putting it right into prayer, right? So the presence of God, and then taking our fears and our stress and then just giving them to God through prayer. And when it comes to prayer, moms are the best, okay? I don't know about you, if you know a praying mom, but I am so blessed to have three praying moms in my life. My mom, I put her through, you know what, growing up, and she, I'm sure there was a lot of anxiety that I caused my family, but my mom was always praying for me. My grandma prayed for me. My mother-in-law, who was my teacher, who's now my mom, she prays for me. And then my wife, when I see her praying for my kids, it's so cool because I can see, this is what it taught me as a man, being a young boy, whenever I was hurt, I was afraid, I was going through trouble, or I was stressed about something, my mom would say, hey, let's pray. And she would model this for me. And she would help me learn how to take my anxieties and my troubles and give them over to the Lord through prayer. And that's what a blessing that as parents, we can give our kids. And you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to have it all together. You just have to know the one who does, right? And so any time where we don't know what to do as a parent, we can always just turn to prayer and we can turn to God and remember his presence. Prayer reconnects us with the presence and the peace of God. Earlier, you heard Britt read Psalm 91. We wanted to blend that in as part of our worship because this passage just speaks so powerfully to this. It says, just verse 1 and 2, I'll read you this. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. What a beautiful picture of being in the shelter, in the shadow of the Almighty. When we pray, it unlocks the power of God. It reconnects us with the presence of God and the peace of God. Last week was National Day of Prayer on Thursday, and we kind of thought, how can we do this in a unique way? We put it out there to do a prayer walk. It's been so cool to hear the reports. And I know for my wife and I, we took a little walk around our neighborhood, and it was so cool just to, you know, see the school where our kids go, and pray over the school and the teachers and the principal, and see where our neighbors live and the people that we know and the people that we kind of know of and the businesses and the workers at the dollar store and the brewery and just all the places around our house, and to be able to walk by and pray for the employees. And it was just so cool to just, I felt like we were kind of just like carrying this like banner of peace through our community as we were praying. And it, we just had our sunglasses on, flip-flops, and we're just cruising around. We're not making a big deal, but it just felt so amazing to be able to just to pray. And it just, I don't know. I love that. I love that we can pray anytime we're anxious or we're afraid. We can pray and we can give it over to the Lord. I want to look at this picture here where Paul kind of paints a picture with words, and he says that the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. So there's this peace that just goes beyond, it'll blow your mind. It's beyond what you can even imagine. There's this peace that God has for us that will stand guard over our hearts and minds. And I'm thinking about Paul being in this prison cell, and there's guards, right? There's these guards that are watching over him, making sure he doesn't leave, you know? And then also he's kind of throwing a little shout out to all the retired Roman soldiers who were guards, who stood guard in Philippi, right? And they were guarding over people. And so he's given this picture of how God's peace is a guard. It kind of stands over watch over us. Instead of having an imperfect or maybe even an evil person guarding over you, we have the peace of God guarding over us. I love how Max Lucado says this. He said, you may be facing the perfect storm, but Jesus offers perfect peace. What storm are you facing right now? Maybe it feels like the perfect storm. I've watched some of my friends right now, and you're going through it. It's just like, how could it get any worse? It's the perfect storm. And I want to encourage you that Jesus offers the perfect peace in the midst of your perfect storm. three more things that I'm just going to fly through these, but I wanted to focus on rejoicing in him today. But I also, Paul kind of talks about some other things that we can rejoice in. The first thing is rejoicing in the good. He says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things and the God of peace will be with you. And I want to encourage us because it's so easy. The squirrels can get our attention so easily, right? There's a lot of things that we could be thinking about that are just unhealthy for us, like the Facebook video that I watched. It would have been great on a Monday morning to process it, but right before bed was a bad idea. And so let's be wise about what we choose to bring into our lives. Before you click share on that post, or before you, you know, before we spread these things too, because I think sometimes we can spread anxiety, we can spread fear, it can be contagious. But I believe that peace and truth is also contagious because we're more hungry for that than anything. And so what are we thinking about? Real quick story, thinking about this is just one of the blessings. I'm not making light of the crisis we're in, but you know, we're all trying to look for those blessings in the midst of it, right? Just so we can stay sane. And one of the things, as I've been working from home and the kids are at school from home, we've been trying to do a lot of our work in the morning and then take a lunch break. And we just put our wetsuits on and we run right down to the beach. Now, you're not supposed to be on the beach between 11 and 5, but you can be swimming in the water. There's a technicality there. And the lifeguards and the sheriff, they're totally cool with you if you're up to your knees in water. So we've been just running down there, and we're just playing like little kids in the water. We brought the boogie boards. And, you know, being a surfer, I'm usually thinking about what's the tide? Is it a 2.5 tide? And is the swell coming from 275 degrees from the west-northwest? Hitting the spot at the perfect angle, and what's the period of the swell, what's the angle of the swell, what's the height. You know, I'm thinking about all these things and I'm serious about surfing. For me to just get in the water and just be, rejoice in the presence of my kids, it's just been so fun. It's been such an outlet of stress to be able to just play. And I think that there's those windows for us. What's that window for you? Maybe it is rejoicing in the presence of your kids. Sometimes we can lose that, miss that because of the squirrels that are chirping away at us. But let's take the time. Maybe they are the squirrels that are chirping. Maybe your kids are like squirrels. Some of you kids, I've seen you. They're pretty squirrely. I got a couple in my house. But even in the midst of that we take the time to rejoice and just enjoy each other and rejoice in the good. So my third point is this: rejoice in his strength. Rejoice in his presence, rejoice in him, rejoice in the good, and thirdly, rejoice in his strength. I love how this scripture is often misquoted, right? I can do all this through him who gives me, I can do all things through Christ. It's usually quoted by like the basketball player who's shooting the three-pointer or the football player who's diving into the end zone. I can do all things. I don't think God's talking about that. I mean, hey, that's cool. If you want to give God the credit, way to go. But what he's talking about here in this passage is actually contentment with where I am, what I have, and how I relate to the things I can't control, right? We're in the midst of this right now. Are we gonna anchor into God's strength so that we can handle and go through the things that we can't control? I want to encourage you to rejoice in his strength. And the final thing, I love how he speaks to provision. Rejoice in his provision. It says, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. He doesn't say, I'm going to meet all of your greeds and all your wants, but he says, I'm going to meet all your needs, right? And Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 6, right? Don't worry about what you have, what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat. Your heavenly Father knows, right? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and all these things. Another way of saying, rejoice in him. Let's take our eyes off of our problems. Let's take our eyes off of the squirrels that are chirping at us, and let's put our focus on him. Let's rejoice in him.
We hope this message encouraged you to take the next steps in your relationship with God. The cool thing is that you don't have to do it alone. There are a lot of ways you can get connected here at Hope. Not only do we want you to feel at home at Hope, we'd love to help you find a home. Please check out discoverhope.church and click connect, or just email us at info@discoverhope.church. Lastly, we give everything we can away for free and rely 100% on volunteers. Donations to support this ministry. If you'd like to give to the mission of Hope Church, you can select the give option on our website or text any amount to 831 831- 800-2060. Thanks again for tuning in.